Anonymous Remailer. Known technically as an anonymous remailer, it is the network equivalent of a Swiss bank, a conduit by which users can ship data around the world in complete anonymity.
The need for anonymous remailers stems from the design of the Internet, which tags every packet of data with an electronic address so it can be returned or resent if something goes wrong in transit.
Atlas. Atlas may be gigantic, it's a quarter of the size of Windows 95, but it has been engineered to run faster. Test drives last week were speedy, but also very crash-prone, par for most alpha tests.
Example 2. Netscape escalated the battle with Microsoft for the soul of the Internet last week by quietly offering web surfers a preview of a super browser codenamed Atlas.
BBS. The casual visitor to the news groups on the Usenet, a bulletin board system that began as a competitor to the Internet but has been largely subsumed by it, will discover discussion groups.
Bored with channel surfing and unable yet to return to running, I borrowed a PC from the office, hooked up a modem, and began to check out the local computer bulletin board, BBS scene.
Cyber Salon. Cyber salons bridge the gap between computer literates and illiterates, explains André Couchard, co-founder of the nonprofit organization that runs Cyber B&R de la Morfou in Brussels. Cyberspace. Such assaults are most likely to injure the large service providers, sober institutions more culturally attuned to their governmental attackers than the info-guerrillas of cyberspace.
As Valentine's Day rolls around this week, love is booming in yet another and far less likely spot. Cyberspace.
DRAM. The companies will create a joint venture that will manufacture and sell dynamic random access memory, DRAM chips, using IBM technology. Expert System. A product of research into artificial intelligence, expert systems solve complex problems somewhat like human experts do, by applying rules of thumb. Fuzzy Logic. Fuzzy logic began to find applications in industry in the early 70s, when it was teamed with another form of advanced computer science called the expert system.
Suddenly, the term fuzzy and products based on principles of fuzzy logic seem to be everywhere in Japan, in television documentaries, in corporate magazine ads, and in novel electronic gadgets, ranging from computer-controlled air conditioners to golf swing analyzers.
Gallium arsenide. GA is more efficient than silicon in these products because it absorbs less energy. Devices made with GA boards suck up less wattage, important for battery power. Geek. Laser's system is not just for geeks. Some big-name radio broadcasters have licensed real audio technology.
The geeks are buzzed, says Dave Weiner, a programmer based in California's Silicon Valley and self-described geek. It's like a whole world just opened up to us.
Rosenfeld and their ilk do not fit the standard image of a hacker, the wealthy suburban geek who trespasses on computers just for fun. Hacker. Federal authorities have warned that hackers can penetrate the Internet's sophisticated security barriers to steal information from companies and universities.
He adheres to a self-styled hacker ethic, which justified any computer intrusion as long as the motive is pure.
By the time he was captured last week in an apartment house in North Carolina, where authorities claim he had as much as $1 million worth of stolen data stashed away, he was the world's most wanted hacker. HTML. So one clear October morning, I presented myself to the supply clerk at the Time Warner Company store, filled out a few requisition forms, and loaded up my mule. A desktop computer, a modem, an HTML for dummies manual, a mouse, jauntily colored pads for it, and the wrists. And rode out to grubstake my future.
9 months ago, if you could program HTML, the language of the World Wide Web, you had the hottest ticket in Silicon Valley, says Paul Sappho. Today, it'll get a yawn.
HTTP. I even had a cute name for what I hoped would become the daily dispatch from the front lines of the Internet. The Netly News. HTTP/Pathfinder.com/Netly. Interlink. Interlink operates over the Pentagon's Defense Systems Network, which has its own lines or leases special lines from phone companies to send encrypted messages.
Today, Interlink users can punch up on their computers the most recent satellite photos, as well as thousands of pages of classified reports from various intelligence agencies.
Internet phone. Last week, Motorola, the lead manufacturer of high-speed modems, announced it was including with its 28,000 bits per second power class modems a coupon entitling the buyer to a free copy of Internet phone.
Atlas includes an Internet phone that lets users make calls from their PCs. The technology, which digitizes voices and then sends the resulting bits over the net, aims to make Atlas more essential than Windows.
ISDN. ISDN is the phone industry's grand scheme to be the dominant conduit for every conceivable communication service, from faxes, newspapers, and video conferencing, to home shopping, radio broadcasts, and TV.
New York City's United Community Organization, an umbrella group of neighborhood settlement houses, in February began installing in its project buildings 200 PCs with ISDN, Integrated Services Digital Network, connections to the Internet.
Java. Although today Java matters only to programmers, it could in the next few years shift the balance of power in the entire computer industry, changing not only the cost and shape of the machines on our desktops, but also our very concept of what a computer should be.
Sun went first, announcing a long list of companies that had agreed to endorse Java, including IBM, Apple, DEC, Adobe, Silicon Graphics, Hewlett-Packard, Oracle, and Toshiba.
Mitnick Affair. Across the country, computer network security experts, though, were talking a lot last week, calling the entire Mitnick Affair a watershed moment. Not for what it proves about the hacker, but for what it says about the systems he hacked. Networked computer. To test his theory, Ellison has commissioned Acorn, a British computer maker, to help design a networked computer to his specifications, with a keyboard, a processor, some random access memory, a communications link, and not much else. Online prank. This is a tale about how an online prank grows into an international incident. Personal digital assistant. With profit margins steadily shrinking in the personal computer business, CEO John Sculley has set out to expand Apple's business into advanced consumer electronics, like CD-ROM players and personal digital assistants, PDAs, far more powerful versions of the electronic pocket diaries developed by Japan's Casio and Sharp.
Called PDAs, personal digital assistants, these wireless handheld PCs function as everything from a checkbook organizer to a fax machine. In many cases, the pen-based devices can even make and take cellular telephone calls.
Satan. Last Wednesday, on the day that Farmer turned 33, he gave a gift to the computer world, a fiendish little software device called Satan.
Within minutes of its release, traffic started to pile up on the dozen or so computers around the world that Farmer had authorized as Satan release sites.
World Wide Web. Hundreds of little Java applications, dubbed applets, have started to pop up on the World Wide Web, the multimedia portion of the Internet.
But with a lot of persistence and a little intuition, days of pavement pounding can be reduced to hours or minutes browsing the World Wide Web.
Welcome, cybernauts. Ever since they were first staged in 19th century Europe, world's fairs have enabled people from around the globe to visit wondrous pavilions where they can discover distant lands and new technologies. The 1996 World's Fair is no exception, but it also has a decidedly Eve of the 21st century twist. The whole event happens in cyberspace.
A nonprofit project dreamed up by Americans Carl Malamud, a computer consultant, and Vinton Cerf, an Internet pioneer and telecommunications company vice president, the Internet 1996 World Exposition is a digital work in progress, a multi-chambered forum that cybernauts can help build and renovate throughout the year, and perhaps long after the fair's official close in December.
While high-tech pavilions set up by sponsoring corporations are featured prominently, as in real fairs, this virtual exposition is closer in spirit and reality to a vast, bustling bazaar, a marketplace for the talents and offerings of thousands of individuals and small groups. Anyone with a computer and a modem can not only attend, but also participate as an exhibitor by creating an individual multimedia website. Visitors can easily navigate from an introduction to Luddism to an exhibition on the wildlife of the Galapagos Islands, and then to a virtual Bengali religious festival.
All the linked sites are supported by Central Park, a global infrastructure of 6 computer servers, expected to triple to 18 by year's end, located in such cities as Tokyo, Amsterdam, Adelaide, and Washington. In addition, Japan boasts public access points, from a group of cyber cafes in Tokyo's hip Harajuku area to computer stations at the headquarters of telecommunications giant NTT, where people can walk off the streets and into the Internet. Amsterdam has a similar setup. More are planned for South Korea and Taiwan.
Getting the fair up and running was by no means easy. Malamud, 36, spent the past year shuttling among 30 countries, lobbying companies that initially dismissed the project as unwieldy and unworkable. While some nations immediately supported the idea, others completely missed the point of Malamud's vision: to make the fair a public works project that focuses on what the Internet can offer expert or novice. Once grassroots groups started backing the project, though, businesses were not far behind. By donating equipment and services, these companies will gain access to millions of potential consumers eager to see the firm's latest technologies.
Japanese corporations were quick to seize the chance of putting their technological prowess on show. Sony, for example, focuses its pavilion on its CyberPassage software, which can combine three-dimensional images with sound and motion. The technology behind CyberPassage, similar to that used in the PlayStation, Sony's successful new 32-bit video game player, may have applications for distributing and playing 3D games over the net.
Since the exposition's January 1st launch, as many as 40,000 visitors each day from more than 40 countries have tried the major websites. The main homepage is at http://park.org. Most virtual visitors log on from the U.S. and Japan, but the United Arab Emirates, Sweden, Singapore, and Estonia have been represented. Comments logged on the fair's guest book are overwhelmingly positive. "Wow, the world is shrinking," wrote a visitor from the Netherlands.
Since their initial hesitancy, the major sponsors, primarily telecommunications and software companies, have become firm believers. Beyond the diversity of content and international scope, the fair is a technological marvel. A total of $100 million has been contributed toward producing the exposition, $25 million for computer equipment alone. The central servers have a storage capacity of a terabyte, the equivalent of a million floppy disks. Says Rob Blockgill, a nuclear physicist and a member of the exposition's executive committee, "To make all those machines work happily together, you need the Internet." But since the existing international capabilities of the Internet were inadequate, he says, "we built a sort of backstage of our own."
And that backstage, a high-speed telecommunications pipeline, is the exposition's true showpiece. Just as the 1889 Paris Exposition gave rise to the Eiffel Tower, this World's Fair will leave behind a structure that embodies its vision of the future: a transoceanic railroad of high-speed fiber optic links. MCI and the Japanese telephone company KDD donated an estimated $20 million to the cost of the 45 megabit per second data hookup. Laid down across the Pacific to connect the U.S. with Asia and Europe, the pipeline adds speed and quality to audio and video transmission. Moving from one screen to the next, which may take minutes on a phone circuit, can be done as quickly as switching TV channels with a remote control.
The fastest international link ever installed, this pipeline could be the first step toward laying a permanent network that will eventually hardwire every nation in the world into the Internet. The organizers hope that the infrastructure and awareness nurtured by this exposition will launch a boom in net use. By the end of 1996, says organizer Cerf, my hope and expectation is that people will discover there is such a strong business need for it that we'll keep the links in place. Malamud puts it in simpler terms. I want this to be a fairground that goes on forever.